Well, up next on Downtown, pleased to welcome aboard one of our absolute favorite guests on the show, and it's a monumental appearance, well, at least for us. Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe today making his 40th appearance on Downtown. There ought to be a watch or a plaque, but you know what, Bob? We spent all our budget on the Gary Tangway bobblehead, so I'm sorry we have nothing.
I can understand that. I mean, you got to meet native. What are you going to do?
Absolutely. Let's talk first of all about a wonderful column you had about the great Yogi Berra, who passed away this week, and the fact that people remember him for the Yogiisms, but he was so much more than that, and such a wonderful ball player that this generation may not remember.
There aren't many three-time MVPs, first of all. That ought to tell you something. Secondly, he's the only catcher three-time MVP, including Johnny Bench. And it wasn't an era when there was some great competition. Yogi Berra was a very special player. And it was, I lived through it all. And I would live through it as an opponent. I hated the Yankees growing up. And Yogi Berra particularly was a nemesis in my mind. I have very clear visual picture of Yogi coming to the plate. Yogi, the way he swung the bat, the way he got his ritual to coming up. And that rhythmic uppercut swing, and yet it had nothing to do with anything because he would swing at anything. It had nothing, he didn't need the ball low. Although I was just talking to a friend of mine today who swears on nine Bibles that he saw Yogi hit a ball and with it bounced for a base hit. And I would believe it, but I can tell you Yogi would hit anything. Yogi was not too worried about the strike zone. Yet, and this is the most amazing thing of all, Rich, it was an era when guys were more careful, and yes, there were other people who didn't strike out a lot, including DiMaggio, including Johnny Mize. You can look all this up. But Yogi Berra was a free swinger. The other guys were more disciplined hitters than Yogi was, and yet Yogi struck out 414 times and walked 704 times in his career. And in 1950, when he went to the plate 621 times, struck out 12 times. Now, today that's utterly and completely and totally unimaginable that such a creature existed, and yet it did. And it wasn't as if he was like the all-time strikeout guy, which is Joe Sewell, who struck out 103 times in his life, but he was a pesky little leadoff hitter. Yogi was a cleanup hitter. Yogi was a power hitter with 358 homers, drove in 1,430 runs. Yogi Berra was out there up there to hit the ball a long way, and yet he didn't strike out. The most he ever struck out was 38 times. We're talking about something that's unimaginable today. In addition to which, there were no gold gloves available for him to win in most of in his prime, but he would have won the gold glove as a catcher year in, year out. Look it up. He led in assists year after year. He was a great defensive catcher. He was an MVP three times, and I dropped it, first ballot Hall of Famer. Oh, by the way, he's famous outside that for all the Yogiisms, but I don't want that to be the way people most remember him. I want to remember him most as a ballplayer.
Yeah, absolutely. Another pretty good ballplayer honored this week at Fenway Park, David Ortiz, getting the ceremony in honor of that 500th home run. And I won't ask you so much about Ortiz as a Hall of Fame candidate, but as a Hall of Fame voter, are you somebody who prefers a more exclusive or inclusive hall?
I would prefer to start it all over if you could go back to 1936. And that first class was fine, but I think the Hall of Fame has gotten trivialized. I think that the Hall of Fame Veterans Committee has messed up and lowered the bar, all right? So that's no question. And anyone who doesn't know this should definitely get a hold of Bill James's book on the subject. It's the definitive study of the Hall of Fame and how it got to be where it is. So that's fine. Go Google Bill James and you'll get the book, and then if you care, then you'll know. But that being the case, we have a Hall of Fame that has got the Hall of the Great, the Hall of the Very Good, and the Hall of the Pretty Damn Good, and maybe they don't belong in the Hall of Fame, maybe they do. And so there are plenty of people in there that are in that final category. In that lowered bar, there is no question in my mind, zero, zip, nada, that David Ortiz belongs in. I think he was probably in the second category, the Hall of the Pretty Damn Good, and not the exclusive Inner Sanctum Hall of Fame, but we can have an argument as to how many people belong there. One thing that is not being often discussed that I should definitely think should be discussed in his candidacy is that among the 500 home run hitters, he hit in a very difficult home run ballpark for a left-handed hitter. Fenway is a average and doubles ballpark. It is not a home run ballpark for a left-hand hitter. It may not even be one for a right-hand hitter because the wall giveth and the wall taketh away, as we well know. But to be a left-hand power hitter in Fenway, as Ted Williams was, as Yaz was, and as Ortiz was, means that you're going to have a number of times in the course of the year when you're going to have 380-foot outs to right center that would have been home runs in every other ballpark. That's the reality. So you're penalized by being a left-hand power hitter in Fenway. Not a left-hand average hitter, but a left-hand power hitter. He spent 12 years playing at 13 years in Fenway. I hope that people take that into consideration. What I worry about when his candidacy accrues, and that won't be until like 2021 at the earliest, and that is that National League voters who seem to be very biased against DH will not vote for him. They do not vote for Edgar Martinez, who I think is the greatest DH we've known prior to this. And I think that's a disgrace. I think he was a great hitter who belongs in the Hall of Fame. But there is a DH bias. I think that more than his name as one of the 103 guys listed as positive in the 2003 thing is going to hurt him more.
We're talking with Bob Ryan on Downtown. It's been a frustrating Red Sox season for a lot of people, but you've written about the fact that you still love the games. Has a season like this and the three tough seasons in 4 years shaken off of the last of those bandwagon jumpers and separated them from the people who agree with me, as a wise man once said, that baseball is the greatest game to spring from the mind of mortal man?
Maybe we got rid of some of the pink hat people. I don't know, but... I mean, or maybe they're the loyalists. I don't know. So what's the truth in there? I hope people love the game for the game's sake. That's always number one, not loving the team, loving baseball. If you don't love baseball first and you only love the team, obviously you're going to be a little bit more fickle. I would take this again. If somebody told me in the next 4 years they're going to be three last place in a championship, I'd take the championship because all the bad seasons are redeemable. This season particularly has been redeemable for the last 6 weeks. I was there last night. Very weird game. First six innings were scoreless game, as you know, and then it got away from them. Okay, fine. It were two games. They didn't win the second game. They tied in the first game. We have had enough evidence in the last 6 weeks that next year could be very, very exciting. The Red Sox have the best core of young talent and position players, I think, in the American League, period. But they don't have a snub pitching, and that's what Dave Dombrowski has to set out to do. Plus, he's got to find a way to get rid of Ramirez. And what he's going to do with Pablo, I don't know. I'm not giving up on Pablo, by the way, as much as I'm ready to jettison Ramirez. I don't want him playing first base, God knows, next year. I want him out of here. But Pablo, I would give one more chance before I cut the cord on him. However, with Betts and Bradley and Bogarts and Shaw and Swihart, I love what the possibilities bring. Not to mention Vasquez. Let's not forget Christian Vasquez.
Right.
He was an aggressively exciting catcher. I don't know what they're going to do when he comes back, if he's as good as he was when he left with regard to him and he and Swihart. Maybe they trade Swihart, fine. Or maybe they trade Vasquez, fine. But they've got a lot to work with there. And I do think they have some pitching to work with, too. I'm looking forward to 2016.
Bob, we haven't spoken since the Basketball Hall of Fame ceremonies a couple of weeks back with JoJo White and Tommy Heinsohn, the late Moses Malone among those honorees. Will we ever, in any pro sport, see a run like those great Celtics teams had from the late 50s to 1969?
Well, we're seeing a run with San Antonio now that's been going on since 1999. They've got five championships and some near misses, including one 2 years ago that was almost unimaginable that they didn't win the game. We got that. But that Celtic run, I hope we have something like that left in Boston. I don't know. We were so blessed in Boston for so many years that, but now if you're young and you're starting out your viewing career, you haven't experienced that. The best, I don't think it'll ever be that good again. It won't be as good as the Russell era, if it was, and hopefully we will have something that will be comparable to the 70s and something comparable to the 80s, but that's asking an awful lot. But I do think the future is good. It's not ecstatically good. It's good. I think the team is better for next year, but the competition is better in the East now. Washington's a threat. Toronto's a threat. The Chicago has still got some stuff left. And Miami's going to be, I think Miami's going to be the real second best team in the conference next year, quite frankly. After Cleveland. But things are looking better here, but they need that one more break. You know, Rich, what people have to understand, luck, I totally have come to realize, and I believe firmly that, you can talk about genius, but luck is more important. And luck means that people that are taken or traded for or are drafted just turn out to be better than anyone ever dreamed. And that's been the case with the Celtics for every great player they've ever had, starting with Cousy and going through Russell and going through Cowens and going through Havlicek and going through Bird and all the ones that they've drafted are turned out to be good and going through Pierce. They're all just better than people thought. Every team needs that. Very, very few guys in the history of this league who you would rank as top flight, you know, elite to upper one percentile players are not better than they were supposed to be, or who are just simply equally as good as they were supposed to be. Very few. And the last one is LeBron. And there's nobody else who isn't simply better than people thought. And that means you're lucky, not smart.
Bob, your book, Ascribe, your recent book, Ascribe, My Life in Sports, came out just about a year ago. I loved it then when it came out. And then about a month or so ago, I got the audio book version with you reading the book. And I think I enjoyed that even more. It was great.
Well, I'm happy to hear you say that because I was curious as to how that would go. And I was told that, you know, a lot of people out there like audio, and I enjoyed doing it. I had never done anything like that. I was pleased when they decided that I would be the one to do it rather than hire a professional announcer. I thought I would be the appropriate one because I knew where the inflections were. I'm glad you feel that way. Thank you. I appreciate the compliment. And I urge people who would prefer an audio version to get the book, and I'm glad to hear you say that. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Now, before we let you go, in the book you talk about your love of music. We've talked about that with you, so I'm going to throw a curveball at you here before we let you go. Bob mm-hmm. Ryan, who is the greatest living vocalist?
Living vocalist.
Living vocalist.
Well, if we're going to go on the standards of sport, where we honor the greatest living people, like the greatest living ball player, you know, that kind of thing, Willie Mays or Aaron, whichever one you want to vote for, the greatest living basketball player, Bill Russell, the greatest living hockey player, Bobby Orr, the greatest living football player, Jim Brown. If we're going to go on that, then it's Tony Bennett, who is still working. He has amazingly kept a voice that is worthy of you spending your money to go hear him sing at 87 or 8. I think he just turned 88. That is just beyond, there's never been a phenomenon like that. That he is the most amazing musical phenomenon. There have been musicians. Hubie Blake was still viable playing the piano and going on the Carson show almost at 100. And there are nonagenarians out there, including drummer Roy Haynes, I think, is 90 now. There are musicians who have been able to keep them, but a singer who is legitimate, who can still carry a tune and sound 85 or 90% of what he was in his prime, Tony Bennett, that's a hands-down answer.
In my notes, I wrote, Tony Bennett? ? I'm feeling good about that right now. Excellent. Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe, his book, Scribe, My Life in Sports, still available, still great. Whether you read it or whether you get the audiobook read by Bob, it's fantastic stuff. Always a pleasure to talk with you, sir.
And the future is virtual. So long now.
All right, we'll see you soon. Bob Ryan, Boston Globe, it is 5:47. Let's take a little time out on the other side. Got today's good, bad, and ugly. It's Downtown, WZON.
Poets often use many words to say a simple thing. It takes thought and time and rhyme to make a poem sing.
Thousands of people just like you have made the switch to St. Joseph Primary Care. Your family and friends can tell you why.
It's always been effective, and it's always been loving.
When I call and I need to be seen, they work me in with my provider.
They treat me just like I'm the only patient they have.
Call St. Joseph Care Choice at 907-3100 and join the I Chose St. Joe's conversation online. St. Joseph Healthcare, your providers, your choice.
The best things in life are free.
Take a trip down the red carpet. You'll discover a dazzling place where stardom becomes you. There's no place like Hollywood. Hollywood Casino Hotel and Raceway Bangor. Visit us at HollywoodCasinoBangor.com. Persons under 21 may not enter the gaming area unless licensed employees. Do you or anyone you know have a gambling problem? For help, services, and counseling, please call 1-800-522-4700. Maine residents, contact 211 for information and resources.
Since 1954, Cross and